الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that a person who sends one time durood or salutation or salawat upon me, Allah azawajal sends 10 mercies upon him. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya habiballah. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madini channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, once again, we are blessed with the opportunity to participate in this beautiful silsila. Blessings of Hadith of Madini channel. As usual, inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will discuss few ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we will pick up few beautiful pearls of wisdom from these ahadith, inshallah. Wa Abi Hurairata qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, idha matal insanu انقطع عنه عمله الا من ثلاثه الا من صدقه جاريه او علم ينتفع به او ولد صالح يدعو له رواه مسلم. This hadith is reported in Sahih al-Muslim. Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that when person dies, all his deeds come to an end, except three deeds or three actions. Number one is sadaqatin jariyatin, continuous charity. And number two, أَوْ عِلْمٍ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ, or the knowledge from which the benefit is derived. أَوْ وَلَدٍ صَالِحٍ يَدْعُو لَهُ, or a pious child who makes dua for him. In this hadith mubarakah, the word al-insanu, idha mat al-insanu, it means when a Muslim dies. Why we take the meaning of word insan as a Muslim? Because in this hadith mubarakah we are going to discuss the thawab after death. And thawab after death is only for the Muslim, not for the non-Muslim. So therefore the word insan, which is used in this hadith mubarakah, it means a Muslim. And the meaning of word amal is a good deed upon which a reward is promised. So that means when person dies, all his good deeds upon which he earns the sawab also come to an end. And there's exception of three things. That three deeds are such Thawab of which does not come to an end. And one amongst them is Sadaqah Jariyah. Continuous charity. It means that person invests his money, his wealth, in awqaf. Means he leaves waqf, for example, masajid, or madrasa, or he leaves a farm or a garden of fruits, or agricultural land as a waqf, so people can benefit from that land. So he makes it waqf. That type of charity is called Sadaqah Jariyah. And then the second thing which is mentioned is ilm nafi or ilmin yuntafa'u bihi, beneficial knowledge. And what is beneficial knowledge? That person is knowledgeable and he passes that knowledge to others. Then only the knowledge is beneficial, it will give him the benefit after death. If he doesn't teach anyone, the knowledge will still have benefit for himself. But we talking here the benefit after death, which person receives in the grave. And that would only happen if that others are benefiting. And it can happen in the form like a scholar writes books, or he teaches some students who become ulama and they practice upon the deen and also spread the knowledge. The benefit of that, or the sawab that's being earned through his writings, his books, his articles or speeches, or students which he has prepared and they have graduated under him and now they are teaching to others. So that amal will not come to an end. That deed will not come to an end. He will be earning sawab in the grave. And the third thing which is mentioned in Hadith Mubarakah is the pious children. What is the meaning of pious children? An alim who is practical. Because to be pious, it's very difficult without knowledge. In fact, it's not possible. Because if person doesn't have a knowledge, he will definitely make mistakes. His ibadat will not be correct. His recitation of Quran will not be correct. He would not know faraiz and wajibat. So he would not be able to perform them correctly. So where is the piety? Pious children would only be if they are ulama, knowledgeable, and then they practice upon that knowledge, then only they are pious. So if a person has left a son who is an alim-e-deen and he is pious, then that amal will not come to an end. That amal will keep on generating sawab for him and he will getting the benefit in the grave. Hazrat Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi writes in Mirqad Sharah Mishkat that here the word yad'u is for targhib, for motivation. It is not necessary that if that son makes dua, then only father benefits in the qabr. Even if he doesn't make dua, the father will still get the benefit in the grave. But this is targhib for the son, it's a motivation for the son that he should remember his parents with good words, with dua-i khair, and make isal-i sawab every now and then. And if he doesn't do that, still the parents will get the sawab, because the son is the extension of parents. Parents have left that pious son, pious children in this world. And how will someone become pious if parents did not give proper Islamic training to that child? So it's a parent's contribution. If somebody is knowledgeable and pious, they don't just become pious unless they are trained under good parents, pious parents, and they give them the Islamic tarbiyah. So there is contribution which they have made, and because of that contribution, they will get the benefit in the grave. وعنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من نفس عن مؤمن كربة من كرب الدنيا نفس الله عنه كربة من كرب يوم القيامة ومن يسر على معسر يسر الله عليه في الدنيا والآخرة ومن ستر مسلما ستره الله في الدنيا والآخرة والله في عون العبد ما كان العبد في عون أخيه ومن سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة وما اجتمع قوم في بيت من بيوت الله يتلون كتاب الله ويتدارسونه بينهم إلا نزلت عليهم السكينة وغشيتهم الرحمة وخفتهم الملائكة وذكرهم الله في من عنده ومن بطأ به عمله لم يسرع به نسبه رواه مسلم. This hadith is also reported in Sahih al-Muslim. Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports the same Rabi as the previous hadith. He says that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, anyone who removes one difficulty of dunya of a believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove a difficulty of qiyamah from him. And whoever will cause ease on a Muslim who is in difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause ease for him in the deen and in the dunya. And one who covers a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover him in the matter of deen and in the matter of dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps on helping the person who keeps on helping his brother. The one who travels to search the knowledge because of its barakah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the path of Jannat easy for him. And no nation gets together to recite Quran Kareem and to give dars, that means recite and teach, in a house from the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but satisfaction descends upon them, mercy covers them, and angels encircle them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembers that person in the jama'at which is by him. And if amal, the deed, puts you back, your nasab, your family tie, cannot bring you up. This hadith Mubarakah has got beautiful Madani flowers. In the first part of hadith Mubarakah, it is said that if you remove a difficulty of dunya from a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove a difficulty of qiyamah from you. This means that if you remove a temporary difficulty of a Muslim, because the difficulty of a dunya is a temporary difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove everlasting and permanent difficulty from you, and that is the difficulty of akhirah. So in other words, that if you make it comfortable for your brother in the dunya, which is temporary, that is a temporary comfort, because it's the comfort of dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide you the permanent comfort of akhirah. So this is what is called favor for favor. So you do favor upon your brother in the dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do favor upon you in the akhirah. And secondly, you do favor according to your capacity and your power and your limitations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will favor upon you according to His glory and His status, and there are no limitations in the treasure of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this hadith is very collective. Even if you remove a thorn from the foot of a believer, that too is an act of reward. And this hadith mubarakah does not mean that you will only get sawab in the akhirah. It means that you will definitely get sawab in the akhirah, but with that you will get the benefit of helping and serving your Muslim brethren in the dunya as well. So you will see the barakah of that in the dunya as well. You will see prosperity because you help others. Then in this hadith mubarakah is mentioned that a Muslim brother who is in difficulty, you should make it easy for him. It means that if he is indebted to you, you can forgive his debts or give him time to pay. Don't make it difficult for him. Try to remove poverty of poor people. So inshallah azza wa jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will solve your problems in the matters of your deen and in the matters of dunya. And then in this hadith mubarakah, it is mentioned that if you cover a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover you in the matters of deen and in the matters of dunya. It could mean that you could buy clothes for poor Muslims who don't have clothes to wear. So you are covering them. That's the literal meaning. And the other meaning is that if you have become aware of any fault or defect or sin of a Muslim, you should not expose that Muslim. But this does not mean that if somebody is trying to cause harm to Muslim nation or to Islamic religion or to the aqaid of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which are the mainstream aqaid, then you should expose that person. That is different. Here we are talking about that there's an individual who has done something wrong and he's hiding that sin from others. He doesn't want people to know about it. And you come to know and you expose that person. So in Hadith Mubarakah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have taught us that if you cover a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover you in the dunya and in the akhirah as well. And then it is said in Hadith Mubarakah that Allah keeps on helping that person who keeps on helping his brother. So this word is very collective. In this the help of dunya, the help of deen, helping with body, helping with knowledge, helping with wealth, all that is included. So if you help, for example, he's uneducated, you help him, you're educating. He is financially broken, you got wealth, you spend your wealth on him, you help him. Maybe he is an old person and you give him support, maybe carry him or give your shoulders to him to walk with you. Or somebody wants to harm him and you use the power of your body to defend him and to protect him. So there are different ways and understandings of helping a Muslim brother. So if you do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. And then in Hadith Mubarakah it is said that the one who walks on the path to seek the knowledge, with the barakat of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the path of Jannah easy for him. So to learn ilm-e-deen, to search ilm-e-deen, one is physically, as we go to Jamiat, we go to Darul Ulooms, we go to ulama to listen to their bayans. So you on that path of knowledge, the path of Jannat will become easy for you. Even if you go to Alim-e-Deen to get fatwa, to go to his office, to go to his house, you are in the path of searching the knowledge. So because you have taken some steps, you have walked some steps to go and get that piece of knowledge which you required, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the path of Jannat easy for you. And how the path of Jannat will become easy for you, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you death with Iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for you in the qabr and in the hashr and accountability and the passing of bridge of sirat, etc. Because all that is required to go to Jannah. So it's a glad tidings, it's a good news for those who are knowledge lovers, who love ilm-e-deen. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam traveled for ilm to meet Hazrat Khidr alayhi salam. And Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu traveled 1 month to learn one hadith from Hazrat Abdullah ibn Qais radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Because these people knew the benefit of that. They knew that my 1 month's traveling will help me to go to Jannat. And then in this hadith Mubarakah, it is mentioned that the houses of Allah, a jama'at, a group who recites Quran in the houses of Allah. Houses of Allah means masajid, madrasas, the khanqahs of Sufiya ikram, because these places are built as a waqf for the zikr and the remembrance of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, to give Islamic education, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to develop Islamic character. Therefore, all these places would be counted as houses of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So the places of worships of non-Muslims are not included in that, because without any Shari justification, a Muslim is not even allowed to go there. So therefore, that possibility is minus here, that every place of worship. It actually refers to the places of worship of Muslims. And those are masajid, madaris, khanqahs. And from the dars, it means that to recite Quran Kareem, make tilawat, learn with tajweed, learn the ahkam of Quran Kareem, the orders, jais and najais, halal and haram, which are mentioned in Quran Kareem. Even to learn sarf and nahw, fiqh, hadith, tafsir, all that is meant here, because in this hadith mubarakah, after the tilawat of Quran, a word dars is mentioned separately. And dars includes all of that, because all these branches of knowledge help us to understand the message of Quran Kareem, help us to understand the message of Hadith Mubarakah, the message of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then in this Hadith Mubarakah, word Sakina is mentioned. What is Sakina? Sakina is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes down, when it descends, people feel comfort and rest in their hearts. That's a sign of Sakina. And sometimes it appears in the form of a cloud. So that means physically you can see, and maybe you might not be able to make a difference whether it is a cloud or whether it is a Sakina. But there's a sign. The sign is that when Sakina comes down in the form of a cloud, the fears from the heart are removed. You feel fearless. You feel worryless. So if that happens, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down Sakina. So these type of people who have these qualities and abilities which are mentioned in this Hadith Mubarakah, who get together, they make zikr of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, they teach Quran, they learn the ahkam of Quran, and they bring people into the masjid, and they fill up the masajid, Sakina comes upon them. And then it's mentioned that mercy covers them. So here it means a special mercy. Special mercy which covers the zakir at the time of zikr. Which covers the zikr doer at the time of zikr. That mercy is meant here. And then it's mentioned in Hadith Mubarakah that angels encircle them. Who are these angels? They're not the normal angels who are kiraman katibin that stay with the person all the time. These are those angels who travel around always, and they're looking for people who are making zikr. And their duty is to go and join those majalis and those gatherings where people are making zikr of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So the person who makes zikr of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, he gets three rewards. He gets three rewards. One is Sakina, other one is special mercy, which is designed for the zakirin, and the third is encircling of those angels who travel and look for majalis of zikrullah, and then they participate and write the names of those who are there. So from here we understand that making a group zikr is better than a zikr that is done individually. And that is the reason that when you perform your salat with jama'at, your thawab is more and there is greater hope of acceptance. Even if there is one person whose namaz is accepted and he is in the same jama'at, there is great hope that people like us sinners, our namaz would also be accepted. So same way, when you are doing a collective zikr, a jama'at zikr, a group zikr, there might be some people who are really pious, who are awliya Allah. And in fact, if there are 40 Muslims, one amongst them is a wali of Allah. So now imagine if you are coming into the weekly ijtima' of Dawat Islami, where there are thousands of people participate in weekly sunnah inspired ijtima' and they do zikrullah together, and you are part of them. How many awliya, how many pious people are sitting in that gathering? So your dhikr, joining with them, will also become a very special dhikr. Therefore, we should always do collective ibadat, and this we learn from this hadith mubarakah. And it is mentioned in hadith mubarakah that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, the one who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembers him alone. And when he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in gathering, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembers him in better gathering than his gathering. And it is also mentioned in Quran Kareem, Fadkuruni Adhkurkum, chapter number 2, ayat number 152, that remember me and I will remember you. So what is the meaning when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will remember you? Ulama ikram have said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put your mentioning on the tongue of his creation. That is the reason that on the mizarat of awliya Allah, there are always so many people who are making ibadat and sending sawab to them. Like, go at the grave of Hazrat Data Ganj Baksh Ali Hajweri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. 24 hours you will find some people who are reciting Quran Kareem. In the month of Muharram, if you go to Pak Patan Sharif at the mizar of Hazrat Baba Fariduddin Shakar Ganj rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, millions of people will be saying, Haq Farid, Ya Farid, Haq Farid, Ya Farid. Who has put the word of Haq Farid, Ya Farid on the tongue of millions of people? This is actually the manifestation of the promise of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Fadkuruni Adhkurkum. You remember me, I remember you. And then, at the end it is said that if amal pushes you back, nasab cannot bring you up. It means that if you are from a noble family, from a respected family, that shortage of amal cannot be fulfilled because you belong to a great family. You have to do amal. In the ark of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, there was place for dogs, and there was place for cats, there was place for rats, but there was no place for his own son, Kan'an, who was kafir. So therefore, amal is very important. But this does not mean that the family tie means nothing. In fact, family ties with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have great benefits. So we do not deny that. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have taught us something very important. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his beloved daughter Hazrat Bibi Fatima az-Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha that, oh my daughter, I don't want that on the day of judgment when people are coming with their good deeds and you are coming with the family tie only, that I'm the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although it is great, indeed it is very great, to be the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but to educate the ummah, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed his daughter with those glorious and golden principles, that everybody has to do the amal, everybody has to practice. Nobody is exempted from practice. Nobody is exempted from namaz. Nobody is exempted from zakat or hajj or any other ibadat which becomes necessary and compulsory upon him. And also the incident of Hazrat Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes to mind, that when he used to make wudu, the color of his face would change and become yellow. It happens when person is in fear. that redness from his face goes away, and his face becomes, his color becomes pale, yellowish. So this used to happen to him. So people asked him that, why when you get ready for wuzu, this happens to you? He said, actually I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because now I'm getting ready to go into his court. When I'm outside in the marketplace, people call me with beautiful names. They address me, Ya Ibn Rasul, O son of Rasul, O son of Ali al-Murtaza Shere Khuda, O son of Bibi Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. These are great nisbats and relationships. But now I'm going into the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where the question is not whose son you are, but the question is what you have brought with you. So there is a great lesson for all of us that we should be practical Muslims. One Abdullah ibn Amr, قال Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمَ إِنْتِزَاعًا يَنْتَزِعُهُ مِنَ الْعِبَادِ وَلَكِنْ يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمَ بِقَبَدِ الْعُلَمَاءِ حَتَّى إِذَا لَمْ يَبْقَ عَالِمًا اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا فسئلوا فافتوا بغير علم فضلوا وادلوا. متفق عليه. This hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim. Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala reports that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that knowledge will not be removed by snatching it away. The knowledge would not be snatched away from the people. Rather, knowledge would be removed with the death of ulama. Till when there is no alim left, people will make the ignorant ones as their leaders. And they will ask masail from them. They will question them and ask guidance from them. And they will give fatwa without knowledge. They will be misguided and they will misguide others. This is actually the sign of Qiyamah, that the knowledge of deen will be removed and ignorance would be spread. And the reason of its removal is not that the people will forget the knowledge. The reason of its removal would be that ulama will keep on dying and there will be no new production of ulama. Less and less people would be interested in the knowledge of deen. Till the time will come that there will be nobody who will be interested and there will be no knowledge left. Because if there are no ulama, where the knowledge would be? And unfortunately, we are seeing that is happening. Maximum of Muslims are interested to send their children into secular schools, modern sciences, modern education, so they can have a degree, and against that degree, they can earn good money. So where are good families? Where are those Muslims who sacrifice their sons for the sake of deen, for the revival of the knowledge of deen, or so the deen can stay alive? So very few. And those few are getting lesser and lesser, lesser and lesser day by day. So this is how, when that happens, that nobody is left with the knowledge of deen, then the Qiyamah will come. And here, the knowledge means the knowledge of deen. Because the other knowledge, whether it is science or medical science or engineering, accounting, all these branches of knowledge are actually increasing day by day. More and more people are getting into those lines because they can earn good money. So there are no signs that those branches of knowledge are dying off. There is no sign. But there is a clear sign that the ilm-e-deen is dying off, because there are not many people who are sending their children to become ulama-i-deen. So from here we also learn that a time will come when people will take juhala, you know, the ignorant ones, as their leaders. They'll make them as qazi or judges. So you'll find judges who don't have knowledge. They'll take them as muftis. You'll find muftis who don't have knowledge. Imams or shaykh, pir or murshid, they'll make bayat with the people who don't have the knowledge. Whereas knowledge of deen is basic requirement for someone to be a shaykh, for someone to be a murshid, for bayat to be correct. But we are seeing that that is also happening, that people are making bayat on the hands of juhala who don't know the basic masail of namaz and roza and zakat, etc. So in other words, that these type of people will take control of dini positions which should have been given to the scholars and to the ulama. And they will feel shy to show their ignorance. They'll feel shy and they'll feel embarrassed. So when someone asks them, they will tell the masala, they will answer. They will not say, sorry, I don't know. Oh, I will check or I will read. Because they're so arrogant, or they'll feel that if I don't give an answer, people will think I don't know much. So because he made a false claim that I'm a knowledgeable person, I'm a mufti, therefore he feels that I have to say when person asks me something. So as a false doctor, a tabib, a hakim, is dangerous for life, he can kill the patient. Similarly, jahil mufti and jahil orators and jahil speakers who are not qualified enough, who have not specialized in Quranic studies and in hadith and in fiqh, they can destroy the iman of the people. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us proper understanding of Quran and hadith and keep us on the right path, on sirati mustaqim, on the path of awliya Allah, on the path of ahlus sunnah wal jama'ah. Ameen, bijahin nabil ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله.